Delighted to be with you today, my friends, as we bring to you really one of my favorite people in the administration of President George Bush, and that is, of course, the Secretary of State, Colin Powell. And, Mr. Secretary, this is the first time you're in the program. We're so honored to have you be part of it.
Well, yeah, it is my first time, BQ. I hope it's not my last, though.
No, absolutely not. I mean, I won't tell them how we met in Argentina.
Are you really?
Well, you know, with Holly Kors, that was so much fun.
It was about 12 years ago, and I was chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff traveling through South America and Argentina and Buenos Aires, and walked into the embassy, and there you were at a reception.
That's right.
Wearing a green dress, as I recall.
That is exactly right. We were so honored to see you there and be able to be next to you because so many of us have so much admiration for you. This has been a very important day, kind of a hard day, I guess. When you think about the consequences of this Intelligence Committee's report, there has been a lot of concern that the intelligence community really let the president down because there wasn't the correct information there coming out of Iraq. What is your thought on that?
Well, I haven't read the report yet. It's just arrived over here, but we welcome the committee's report. And based on what I know of it and in my conversations with the president, we know that reform of the intelligence system is going to be necessary because there were some serious failures here that we've got to get on top of. There are great people within our intelligence community. They work very hard, and we've just got to make sure we got them in the best environment to do the best possible job for the nation.
When it all started happening, I remember I have many intelligence reporters on the program, and it seems that there was kind of a group think about this. It was not only the intelligence from the United States, but from the United Kingdom and from other areas of the world that really believed that there were weapons of mass destruction. Was there a failure, or was there, you know, failure in that kind of group think?
Well, you know, even the from what I've been able to derive from the report, just by looking at a few summaries of it, even the report concludes that it was more than just the United States. There was international groupthink, as they call it, where we all were looking at the same data, and foreign intelligence services, some of the UN agencies, and the United States all came to the conclusion that not only was there an intent to develop these weapons and to have them, which is not disproven, that is clearly the case, and the capability to produce such weapons, that is not disproven, and a history of using such weapons, that is not disproven. In fact, that's substantiated, and it's a historical fact. Where we fell down, apparently, was in believing that there was an active stockpile of these weapons that was out there. Now, the survey group that's out there is continuing to do its work, and it may yet turn up something. But what the committee seems to be saying is that there wasn't sufficient evidence to reach the conclusion that the stockpiles were there.
The concern that I have is with Saddam Hussein now being held in custody and the change that's happened in Iraq, clearly for the better. How does Saddam Hussein then be held accountable for what he's done? He certainly is a criminal. And does this kind of get him off the hook?
I don't think so, not at all. The Iraqi people will want to know why he gassed his own people. The new Iraqi leaders will want to know about mass graves that are being uncovered all over Iraq. The new Iraqi people, new Iraqi government, rather, will want to know how the money was spent over those years and for what purposes and who paid for all these palaces and for what purposes. So I think there are many crimes that he will be charged with and for which he will have to stand before the bar of justice.
It's been a really tough political position also to deal with this issue of terrorism. You had Rockefeller saying today the Congress would not have authorized the war if they knew about these intelligence failures. Do you believe that's a fair and accurate statement to make?
I can't answer that right now, frankly, because Senator Rockefeller had the same information the president had at the time, and he says he wouldn't have voted for the war if he'd had the information that he now thinks to be the accurate information. That's his judgment. As I have said previously, I would certainly have to take another look at it, and I'm not sure where any particular senator would have come out or whether the Senate as a whole would have voted for or against that resolution. The fact of the matter is, though, they did vote for the resolution based on what they knew and what they thought and what the rest of the world thought. And as a result, a terrible dictator is gone. We don't have to debate weapons of mass destruction anymore because the individual responsible for them or for the programs or for having that intention is gone. Saddam Hussein is no longer in power. He's in jail and about to go on trial in due course here. And so I think the right thing was done. And this man has been removed. The Iraqi people now have a government of their own. We return full sovereignty. Our youngsters are still doing great work over there, but I hope that increasingly the Iraqi forces will be able to take on the responsibility for security, and our folks can start coming home.
You bet.
And then the Iraqi people can elect a representative government and put together a solid democracy, which they seem to be committed to doing.
And I know that you, with your incredible experience, want to make sure that the morale is not completely destroyed of those young men and women who put their lives on the line.
Absolutely. You know, it's soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marines and State Department employees and FBI and CIA and employees from almost every federal department are working on this situation in Iraq, either by serving there or being back here, backstopping those wonderful folks. And they're doing a terrific job for the American people. They're doing a terrific job for the Iraqi people. We should be so proud of them, and we should honor every sacrifice that has been made in the cause of freedom, securing our peace here as well as securing peace in that part of the world.
Absolutely. I wanted to talk to you about a couple of other locations, and certainly I must ask you about the Sudan. That is, how are we going to deal with the problems that are going on in the Sudan?
Well, as you know, I was there last week along with Secretary General of the United Nations, Kofi Annan, and we put some sharp demands before the Sudanese leaders. They had to take on these militias known as the Janjaweed that were terrorizing the countryside of Darfur. They had to allow humanitarian aid to flow without any interruptions or constraints. We've seen a little bit of movement on their part. They seem to be starting to do the right thing, but we want more than just a start. We want them to really meet the demands that the international community has placed upon them. I talked to Kofi Annan about an hour or so ago, and he and I are committed, and I think more and more members of the international community are committed to doing everything we can to encourage and press the Sudanese government to bring this violence under control. And we're also doing everything we can to make sure the international community provides the humanitarian assistance that these people deserve and need.
Oh, absolutely. And now, of course, since I just have a little bit of time left, I can't let you go without talking to me about the situation in Israel right now with the fence. And the question that many people ask, and certainly now The Hague is implying that the fence is violating human rights, but the Israelis are saying that's really preventing more death.
Well, it's a difficult issue, and I haven't analyzed the opinion of the Hague court yet. But as you know, our position has been that it was not something that should have been referred to that court. And so we will analyze it and see what our position will be going forward from this point. As you know, it is a non-binding decision on the part of the court. And we'll have to see the international reaction, the Israeli reaction, and study the details of the opinion.
So in other
words, we didn't think it should have gone to the court in the first place.
So in other words, even if a decision is rendered, then it's not something that they have to adhere to. It's a strong recommendation.
It is that. It is it essentially is judgment by the court, but it's non-binding. And therefore, it is something for the Israeli government to examine and see what reaction they wish to have to it. They are quite right, though, since they have been able to put up the security fence. They've been able to cut down the number of people crossing over to conduct terrorist attacks. We have said to the Israelis that we have some problems with the route the fence has taken. And I think they have been sensitive to our concerns and the concerns of their own courts, Israeli courts, that the fence is an adequate response to the security problem, but it should not be used in a way that would prejudge the final configuration of a Palestinian state or intrude into Palestinian territory in a way that is not appropriate and, frankly, not just and fair to the Palestinian people.
Well, as you know, we're so honored to have you on the program.
And thank you very
really
much.
Really proud of the great service that you provide for our country in so many ways through your really remarkable career. We really appreciate you joining us.
Thank you very much, BQ. Have a good day.
Secretary of State Colin Powell and the